Politics is a pretty big part of our life. It'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it, how often a political story makes the front page of the newspapers or is the lead story on the TV news. People pay a lot of attention to what happens in councils and parliaments, partly because the media keeps telling us, the media thinks it's part of their role to be informing us and keeping the government accountable, but also we're interested because what parliaments do can impact us directly. We know that what the government does is pretty important, but at the same time, most Australians don't have much regard for politicians. These are the results of a survey done earlier this year about the kind of trust and respect Aussies have for different professions. Up the top of the list are medical people, nurses, doctors, pharmacists. And right down the bottom, well not right down the bottom, but almost down the bottom, are politicians. Now, it's easy to laugh at this situation, but I have to come clean. That's me. I'm not that many rungs higher. Ministers of religion are only a few rungs higher than politicians. And for ministers of religion, over the last decade, the trend has been downwards at a pretty fast rate. But back to the politicians, that's what we're talking about today. They're the butts of our jokes, aren't they? It's an old show, but Yes Minister, who likes Yes Minister? Few people, Yes Prime Minister. They are still funny today. In fact, they are just as true today as they were when they were first recorded. But it's more than just being the butt of our jokes. A few years ago, there were horrible things said, particularly about Julia Gillard, by people on the right. And then, a couple of years later, equally horrible things said about Tony Abbott by people on the left. Most Australians think that politicians are fair game for ridicule, for contempt, for language which was said about you and I, we would consider abusive. Today we're looking at what the Bible, what Romans says about how the gospel of Jesus shapes our relationship with the government. On one level, the verses we're looking at today are very straightforward. But politics and religion raise lots of questions. Now, this passage we're looking at today, it's not going to address all of the questions that you and I might have about politics and religion. But hopefully, we'll touch on some of our questions. And this is definitely a passage we can keep chatting about over morning tea. One of the big things about this passage is it actually doesn't talk all that much about what government should do. When it comes to politics, what we love talking about is what those politicians should do. We love pointing the finger at them and their failings. But this passage doesn't do that. It points to us. That's actually normally more important, isn't it? It's much more important to hear what God is saying to you and to me rather than pointing our finger and whinging about those people out there and what they're doing. So this is a passage for us to listen up to. God is speaking to you and me today about what we should be, how we should be relating to government. It is a complex passage though because this passage was written to people living in a very different situation from us. Rome in the first century had a different political system than what we have in Australia in the 21st century. But despite the differences, and we will touch on these differences on our way through, because this is God's word and because people are basically the same, it speaks to us today. And so we are going to be dealing with some of the complexities about politics, some of the complexities that come because of the different historical situation we're in. But actually the focus of Romans 13 is actually a very clear, simple message to us in these verses. Now, back in chapter 10 of Romans, which we looked at a few weeks ago, we may not have realised it, but in Romans 10 verse 9, we're told that anyone who declares Jesus is Lord and believes in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, they'll be saved. Now, we might not have recognised it, but those words, Jesus is Lord, are political words. They are politically dangerous words. People in Rome knew who was Lord. It was the emperor. It was Caesar. Most likely at the time Paul was writing, it was Nero, the emperor. To say that Jesus is Lord is a politically dangerous sentence because it means that Caesar isn't, that the emperor isn't. But if Jesus is Lord, does that mean that Christians can ignore the government? Well, the answer we're told is no. In fact, Christians are to submit to the government because Jesus is Lord. Because God is in control of the whole universe, that also means that he's in charge of who ends up in government. And so Christians are to submit. So have a look there at verse 1, Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. It's really important that we get this in the right order. Jesus is Lord, and God places people in positions of authority. Now this raises some difficult questions, doesn't it? Sometimes God puts good people, even godly people, into authority. But he also puts, and maybe even more often, puts flawed, corrupt people into authority. How are Christians to respond when this happens? Well, we'll keep coming back to this question. But whether you like or loathe the people in politics, it's really important to remember the bigger truth, Jesus is Lord. Especially if you're a political junkie. If you really love following what's happening in Canberra and even London and Washington, we can start believing the same lie that many politicians believe. The lie that they are Lord. That they're ruling the world, that they're all powerful. No, Jesus is Lord, Caesar isn't. And we need to remember this because some of us can get so tied up in writing letters and signing petitions, we forget to pray. Now, I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. I think we should, but not at the expense of prayer, because we have received God's Spirit. The God of the universe is our Father who loves to hear our prayers. That's who's really in control, our Heavenly Father. But God gives us government, and he gives some people the authority to govern and rule. And so how are Christians to relate to them? Well, we're to submit, we're to obey. In Rome, saying Jesus is Lord may have sounded like treason. But Christians are not traitors. We're not traitors first because, well, God is the ultimate authority, and so whoever is in government is there because of God. And second, well, because when God gave government authority, he also gave them the authority to enforce it. Government has power behind what they say. They've got police, armies, courts, and because of this, well, the smart money is on obeying. Christians are to obey the government. This is a general rule of thumb. Do what the authorities say, and they're going to give you a pat on the back, but disobey, and you're going to cop it. Verse 2. So, anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honour you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So what's this mean? As a general rule, Christians should be model citizens. Jails should not have many Christians in them, except for those people who were converted after the fact, and praise God for when that happens. But jails should not be full of Christians. And on the flip side, there should be lots of Christians receiving Australia Day awards and Queen's Birthday honours for doing the right thing. And remember, this is all under the heading that we started on last week, Romans 12, 1 to 2. This is our acceptable worship to God. Conforming to the world means to reject authority. Being transformed by God teaches us to accept authority. All right, so a couple of obvious applications. Followers of Jesus don't go around deliberately speeding. We don't ignore the speed limits because the government has every right to hit you with a fine. That's a pretty basic kind of principle. something that's a little bit more controversial for some people. Followers of Jesus are to obey laws even if you don't agree with them. For example, I know some people are not a big fan of the tree clearing laws. Now, I'm not really concerned about whether they're good laws or bad laws. I don't really have an opinion. What God is saying to us in this passage is, if the law says, don't cut down those trees, then you don't do it. You don't go looking for some way to slowly kill trees and hope that you don't get noticed. You don't do something that's going to look a bit like an accident, so you get away with it. That's rebelling against authority. That's not what the new life in Christ looks like, because in general, breaking the law is actually rebelling against God. And it doesn't matter whether the person who made the law is a Christian or not. Whoever they are a servant of God. For Jews, back in the time before Jesus, if the king of Israel was ungodly and they didn't care about God's law, that was a big problem. That was a big problem that needed to be solved. But for Christians, this is a reality we can joyfully accept. We can joyfully accept this reality because no matter who is king or queen or prime minister, Jesus is Lord and he has placed that person in authority. All right, so what are these verses saying? In general, do what the government says, because they've got the power of punishment. More literally, they bear the sword. And if you do the wrong thing, you're going to feel it. And also, obey the government because it's the right thing to do. It's part of our worship of God. Verse 5, so you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. It's very straightforward, isn't it? But I reckon most of us are thinking about the what ifs. What if the government is evil? What if the government makes laws that forbid us from doing good or enforce doing something that's wrong? Does the Bible teach that Christians have to always obey those in authority no matter what? Well, the answer's no, but before we get to that, we really need to feel the weight of Romans 13. We shouldn't be looking for loopholes and ways out. The gospel-shaped response of the government is submit, obey. But sometimes we won't be able to submit because that would mean ignoring God's authority. Great examples of this are in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, when Nebuchadnezzar makes the golden statue and commanded everyone to bow down and worship it. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? Well, they refused to worship the idol. And they refused, and they faced the consequences. They were thrown into the fire. They were willing to die rather than turn their back on God. Or later, when Darius made the law that no one could pray except to him, what did Daniel do? He prayed to God and faced the consequences. The interesting thing about Daniel is, though, isn't it? Because he had consistently been doing the right thing, consistently submitting to the authorities, when he was forced to go against the king actually regretted having to punish him. He was such a model citizen that the king hated to do what he'd organised. Daniel's actually an exception that proves the rule of 13. Do what is right and you'll be commended. That's what happens in general. But if you get into a situation where submitting to the government means rejecting God's authority, well, we go with God. So these days, Christians in North Korea, when the law says to worship the Kim family, Christians say no. Or in Australia, there are laws about what can and can't be done around places that provide abortions. Some Christians have decided it's not right to submit to these laws. And they've continued to offer counselling or protest at these clinics. They disobey the law and they face the consequences. Now, these things, I think we have to admit, they're not going to be easy to work out. And some Christians are going to come to different conclusions on it. Sometimes it's going to be very cut and dry. If the government says you can't worship Jesus, well, God is honoured by not submitting to that law, but many other issues are going to be much more complex. But fortunately, they're not everyday decisions. Even when a government is completely opposed to God, even if they're as evil as the Roman Empire was, much of the time Christians can joyfully submit to the laws and policies and be model citizens. And so the general principle stands. Obey the government because you don't want to get in trouble and because it's the right thing to do before God. A really practical place this hits home is with paying taxes. Because for most things, if you're living God's way, you'll be submitting to the government without even thinking about it. You know, because the general principle is governments punish people who do the wrong thing. So, for example, if you're a tradie and there are laws that are against doing your job in an unsafe way, and there are laws against ripping off your customers, well, if you love Jesus and follow Jesus, well, you don't do an unsafe job and you don't rip off people anyway because you obey Jesus and you love your neighbour. You don't even have to think about what the government says to do because just following Jesus means automatically you'll be submitting to those laws. But paying tax is actually a different kind of thing. If government didn't have taxes, you could wholeheartedly live for Jesus without giving them a cent. Now, if you lived in the United Arab Emirates, which has zero tax, absolutely no tax is paid, though that's going to change in January next year. But right now, this is true to say, zero tax. If you were a Christian living in the United Arab Emirates, you could live for Jesus, submit to the government, and since there is no tax, well, you wouldn't pay tax in the normal run-of-the-mill ways of loving God and loving your neighbour. But that's not the situation in 99% of the countries around the world where the government collects taxes and other revenue. Christians show that we submit to the government by coughing up. It's a very direct way of applying the principle of submitting to authority. So verse 6, pay your taxes too. For these same reasons. The government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them and give respect and honour to those who are in authority. It says there in verse 6 that we're to pay tax for the same reason. What's the same reason? Well, because if you don't, you'll get punished. Eventually the ATO will catch up with you and it's not going to be pretty. So you pay tax to avoid punishment, and we also do it because it's the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? Because the work of governing costs money. Think back to the situation in Rome. It costs money for Rome to have an army. It costs money for Rome to build aqueducts and roads. It also costs money to administer and run all these things. If you're going to be a senator or the emperor, you can't spend all your time farming to put food on the table, because it takes time to do the work of government. Paying tax is the right thing to do. But once again, paying taxes raises lots of what-ifs. In Rome, taxes were used to pay for the army, which was conquering people and expanding the empire. And tax money was used so that rich people could live in luxury paid for by the poor. What do you do then? And on top of that, for us, our tax dollars are used to do things we might think are immoral. Medicare and public hospitals being used for abortions or euthanasia. Tax dollars funding the indefinite detention of people who've come to our country asking for help and safety. There are specific things Christians might object to as being evils, and our tax dollars are being used to fund them. Other times it's that feeling that tax dollars are being wasted on white elephants. So what do believers do if they object to how their tax dollars are being spent? Verse 6, we pay taxes. And if you disagree with how that money will be spent, one of the privileges of living in a parliamentary democracy is you talk to the politicians and you write your letters and you vote wisely. Another thing, if we're to pay taxes, well, we're to pay the full amount. Christians don't think, well, all those rich people and big businesses and even some politicians, they squirrel away all their money into trust funds and tax havens and they pay almost zero tax. Well, it's only fair that I do the same. Well, that's hardly submitting to authorities, is it? Two wrongs don't make a right. Your mum was right on that one, wasn't she? we're to pay whatever tax, whatever levy we're meant to. Now, in saying this, to be totally upfront, the way most churches pay ministers, including our denomination, is done in a way to minimise income tax that is paid. And that way, your giving dollar goes further. It's my understanding that the way this is done is not only completely above board with the law, it follows the letter of the law, but it follows the spirit of the law too. It also, when the system came into place, back when Paul Keating was Prime Minister, churches went and they spoke with the tax office to make sure that what we do, the way that stipends are paid, is not only keeping with the letter of the law, but that they were aware that this was the letter of the law and that was keeping with the spirit of the law. And so that's what we do. We don't hide the sisters. We don't try and find loopholes. And it's the same with the way ministers are paid. If you want to talk to me about the way that churches pay stipends, please do. There's nothing to be hidden about that. And that's the system we have now. And if the laws change and I need to pay more tax, well, I will. I already pay some, pay plenty, but I'll pay more if the system changes, which it may well do in the future. We don't only owe taxes to the government, but we owe honour and respect or fear too. This is a really big one for Aussies because, as I said at the start, we love to mock politicians, which is strange, isn't it? Because we have a remarkably good political system. Compared to many places in the world, there's hardly any corruption. Elections are run fairly and transparently. We have every reason to respect government. And even politicians, most of them go into politics with pretty good motives. They generally want to do good and benefit the nation as a whole. Of course there's mixed motives. I know my own heart, though I know I've got mixed motives. Of course they have mixed motives. There's pride and desire for power. But it's not only about those things. We have lots to be thankful for. And even with politicians who you may have lots of things which you disagree with, they deserve our respect because they are made in the image of God, and in their work, they are serving God. Even if they don't know it, they are serving God and deserve respect. Now, what does respect mean? It doesn't mean naively thinking they do everything right. It doesn't mean you can't be critical of their decisions. And even the whole way they approach the job of running government. In fact, I reckon reasonably disagreeing with government can actually be very respectful because it means that you respect them enough to take what they're doing seriously and actually care enough to respond. I think the opposite of respect is things like mocking and deriding and slander and abuse and calling names. And I have to put my hand up on this one because paying out politicians, it's a very cheap laugh and I'm not good at complex laughs, so I go for cheap laughs. And last year back at the CCC Carol's night, I told a really bad joke about how when the angel told Mary that her baby was going to sit on David's throne, well, that's actually good news because she didn't mean that Jesus was going to grow up to be a politician. And what kind of parent would want their kid to grow up to be a politician? Look, not only was that a bad joke and didn't deserve the cheap laughs it got, when I got home that night, Anita pulled me up on that one. She said, look, that wasn't very respectful. That was actually insulting to people. And she was spot on. So how do we respect and fear or honour those in government? Well, we don't mock or sledge politicians, no matter what side they sit on. And I think this is the big one. We pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. And when we're praying for those in power, what do we ask? We ask that they'll hear the gospel and come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, the same as we pray for everyone. And we pray that their decisions will be wise and just and that they'll allow Christians to live for Jesus without breaking the law. Praying for our leaders is a great way to respect and fear them and to acknowledge the most important thing, that Jesus is Lord, not the Prime Minister, not the Queen, not Caesar. And it's really important for us to remember this. Because it would be very easy for us, when it comes to politics, to be pragmatists, to do whatever it is that works. Maybe to keep our heads down just because that'll mean we live a smooth life. Or to go along with the crowd who wants to rebel against the government because it's easy to stay with the mob. But followers of Jesus don't rebel or quickly go against the authorities because God has put them there. And we also don't follow blindly because we're not to be trapped to the patterns of the world, but we're to be changed in our thinking and our doing as Christians, as followers of Jesus, who people have new life in Christ because Jesus is Lord. We obey the government. We give them the honour and respect that we deserve. But number one, we follow Jesus as Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in your wisdom you have given certain people authority over us to lead and govern. Please help us to submit to those in authority, especially those whose worldview and ideas are not those we share. Help us to find lots of ways to be upright citizens, to submit to them, honour and fear them. Please help us to joyfully pay taxes and tolls. Help us to be honest and not try to get away with paying less than what we should. We ask that the way we live would bring glory and honour to Jesus. Help us also to remember the most important truth, that Jesus is Lord over all, that he is the King before whom all kings will bow. Please be with us when following Jesus conflicts with submitting to government authority. In these situations, help us to be wise and humble. When these situations do happen, help us to be motivated by bringing glory to Jesus and not to be motivated by our own benefits. And please may our government make laws that enable us to live quiet and godly lives, to be able to genuinely live for Jesus without fearing punishment. And we ask all of these things that Jesus might be glorified. Amen.